the Word of God, living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of the United Reformed Church here in Linden, as we go to the Word of God, here's our pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we have been studying on Abounding Grace this past week, the responsibility of the Christian husband, and today we conclude that study, and I want to pick up with a point we left off with yesterday. I said it's a sad phenomenon that due to the ignorance of the word on the man's part today, that the woman has become the spiritual leader in the home. Now, it's not a bad thing that a woman's a spiritual leader. What I'm saying is that the man has totally neglected his responsibility to lead. She is the spiritual giant today, and he is totally passive, totally careless of spiritual things. His priorities are in everything else other than the Word of God and leading in the home. He's got all of his toys, his four-wheelers and fishing boats, and he's got everything else other than to be a spiritual leader. The man today is pathetically lazy, and he is not leading. And this has done untold damage to children and to the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's shameful on our parts as men. And I said yesterday, I made this plea, young woman, if you're considering and contemplating a marriage and you don't have a spiritually strong man, I can't say this enough. I don't know how stronger to say it. If he is a passive, aggressive ninny, flee him. You are setting yourself up for a hard life. God did not design it this way. The godly woman, and we modeled that, we looked at that last week of what the godly woman is, and you can go back to our radio programs on the website, lindenurc.com, abounding-grace.org, and download any of those. The godly woman will expect her husband to lead spiritually, and we need leadership from men today. And so the apostle is motivating us to that here in Ephesians chapter 5, and he's calling the husband to love his wife as Christ has loved the church, to give his life for her, and to give his life for the purpose of making her beautiful and radiant without spot or wrinkle, just as Christ has for his church. So the love that we have is a purifying love. It's the kind of love that we see in the father's love for the prodigal son that embraces and makes that son beautiful by covering him in the greatest of his robes. So the husband pictures that in his love for the wife. And we left off yesterday with this final thought that a husband's love for his wife is to be a refining love. This is what Ephesians 5 verse 27 says, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So do you know that the goal that Christ has for his church is to present her on judgment day, not having any spot or blemish? I mean, that's what the end of Jude says. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of the throne with exceeding joy. So his love, Christ's love, is purifying love. A day is coming when that final presentation of his bride will be visible to the entire heavenly realm that Christ pursued, purchased, and made beautiful and cleansed with his blood. So for every husband in a marriage, there is a great goal that just as Christ is tenderly nourishing, cherishing, protecting, and growing his bride for the last day to present her before the throne room in heaven, beautiful and radiant, the husband will stand there before the Lord to present his bride, in a sense. So what Paul is essentially telling us is that the husband has a vital part in his wife's transformation. If the husband would understand his responsibility in this, he would take the calling more seriously, I believe. She is on her way to glory. And listen, God has given the man as an active agent in her refinement so as to picture how Jesus is working to prepare his church for glorification. So this is a great responsibility on the part of the man to lead. And Paul's words in terms of neglect are very strong. In fact, he says that the husband's love for his wife should be so strong that he is to love her as his own body. So neglect of the wife, neglect of leading her spiritually, neglect in terms of protecting her from worldly influences, neglect of nourishing and cherishing her is part and parcel to hating your own person. Remember, the two shall become one flesh. So just as we are joined to Christ in our vital union with him, so too when the man and woman marry, they become one flesh. They even bring forth the emblem of that oneness with children in their own likeness. A man shirking in his responsibility to love his wife is rejecting the very thing his oneness should picture, the mystery of the union Christ has with his church. So let me just say, that's why God hates divorce. Because in Christ, he will never allow his bride to be cast off. Christ, it is just the reality that Christ has purchased this bride, and no one can pluck that bride from his hand. Can you imagine the possibility of Christ divorcing his church? That's unthinkable. He's going to present his bride beautiful and radiant on that day. It's an unbreakable union. He has promised to do that through thick and thin, for better or for worse. He will complete the work he started in her, in us. So a separation of a man and a woman scorns the very thing the marriage relationship is designed to reflect. And Christians are held to a much greater accountability in this because they have openly taken the name of Christ. They have openly said they believe. And so, as Christians, so we need to remember that the very marriage relationship as Christians is bound up with our witness. When a marriage is destroyed, something is destroyed about our witness, destroyed in the man, and that union has become broken so that they are both no longer complete. Their oneness has been shattered. So this is something we have to consider about our witness tied to the marriage relationship too. So this is an important subject in our day. I want you to hear a letter that was read by a pastor of a typical path that quite often in our country ends in divorce. I was so moved by it. I really want to read it here and have you consider it. She wrote into this pastor, and I share it just because I thought it's so powerful. So this woman writes to him saying this: "The kids are in bed. There's nothing on TV tonight. I asked my husband if he minds if I turn off the tube. He grunts. As I walk to the set, my mind is racing. Maybe tonight we will talk. I mean, have a conversation that consists of more than my usual question and is mumbled one-word answer or no answer at all. I interject something he would not do at work if he is to climb the ladder of success. Silence. I live in a world of continuous noise, but between him and me, silence. Please, oh God, let him open up. I initiate again for the 1,000th time. My heart pounds. Oh, how can I word it this time? What can I say that will open the door to just talk? I don't have to have a deep, meaningful conversation, just something. So as I open my mouth, he gets up and he goes to the bedroom. The door closes behind him. The light showing under the door gives way to darkness, and so goes my hope. I sit alone on the couch. My heart begins to ache. I'm tired of being alone. Hey, I'm married. I have been for years. Why do I sit alone? The sadness undergoes through a change slowly. Then through increased fervor, I get mad. I am mad. I am sick and tired of living with a sissy and a coward. You know, he's afraid of me. Hostile, you say? You better believe it. I'm sick and tired of living in a world of passive men." Now, she goes on to say in this letter how Dad never plays with the children. He's too busy, but he has time for golf, riding his four-wheeler. Even more moving is her daughter. She speaks of her daughter beginning to like boys. She says, "I know what's coming. She needs her father, yet my husband has no time for her." And she closes the letter by saying, "Worst of all, it's the very same thing his father did to him." Now, Can you imagine a man like that standing before the Lord on Judgment Day presenting his wife to the Lord, hurting, broken, unloved, neglected, while all the while he should have been striving for her radiancy, nurture, and spiritual growth? A calling that God said is to reflect the love and salvation that Christ has given to him? You see, I suggest this is a common scenario in most households. Why? Well, because in this scenario, the husband has completely neglected loving his wife. Can you imagine if we were to write a letter to our Heavenly Father? All I need is the warmth of Jesus. I just want to talk to Jesus. I just want to know he cares. I just want to spend time with him, but he's not there. My heart is aching. We've never known such a thing. It would be shameful to even think that's a possibility. Wouldn't we be miserable if our Savior shunned us? Well, what if our wives' husbands? Jesus doesn't love us with an unfailing love and an unbreakable love so that we would then exemplify and picture that by not loving our wives. Paul here is calling us to reflect the love we've received, to show the love to our wives. I admit, hearing this, you might think, well, that standard's almost impossible. Well, it's God's standard. Even though we fail, we have a Savior who never fails us. So maybe there is terrible sin on our parts as husbands. Perhaps we have been for years neglecting what God has called us to do. I mean, no husband who's listening today is going to say that he's loved his wife as Christ has loved the church. So we repent and we look to him for help. I'm utterly moved and humbled to think that even when we fail in this most noble calling, even when we fail to show forth in gratitude and in loving our wives and show the love that he has loved us with, he desires to purify and heal us. He desires to redeem even our marriage relationships and turn them around. You see, there is strength with him to have restored relationships, even when it seems that there's a point of no return, that the love is not there. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He turns our hearts. He heals our hearts. He restores what has been broken. He binds up the weary and the brokenhearted, and he restores things to what they should be. The beautiful thing of the gospel is that no matter how unlovely we are and have been and will be, his love is unbreakable. When Jesus poured himself out on the cross, it was with a love that will endure and complete what it started. What a comfort to me. What a comfort to you if you are a Christian today. And he gives us husbands the privilege to reflect to the world through that love of our wives, the love that Christ has for us in doing everything in his power to prepare us for the day when we will be presented as a glorious church, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So, wives, return to the biblical calling. Submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. And may together this gospel drive us in our love that we would reflect the gospel to a dying and a hurting world that needs to see it. May again we turn to Christ, the great healer of our souls, and have marriages that reflect what they were designed to be from the beginning. Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We have services this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We would love to meet you. If you would write us and tell us how this radio broadcast is blessing you, that would also be an encouragement to us. Linden URC, P.O. Box 593, Linden, Washington 98264. Again, P.O. Box 593, Linden, Washington 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.